Welcome to the Maria Heller Show, the internet's original podcast. Since the year 2000, always ahead of the curve, always on your side. A true warrior for truth and justice, Maria and her guests leave nothing out, and no one is off limits. There is only one truth, the rest is lies. Sit back, enjoy the education with a true daughter of Mother Earth. Sharp New York wit, spiritual knowing, and a very dry sense of humor, Maria will dissect the news and lies to make it all palatable. Education is power. Maria delivers rapid-fire truth like no one else can. Here she is, the mouth that roars, the legendary Maria Heller.
Got it.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking, and I have a good old friend back on the show. It seems like forever. The one and only Greg Palast, and he's got a fabulous movie out that everyone needs to see before they vote. The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, A Tale of Billionaires and Ballot Bandits. And I've already seen it three times. So good morning, Greg.
Three times. Even my mother hasn't seen it three times.
Well, I was happy to see your parents in the movie.
Yes. My mom's in the movie as, because people don't understand. When you vote, it's a crapshoot whether your vote gets counted. And in The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, and I know many people, by the way, had the original book, which is a big bestseller. And this film is the latest stuff. While it has the same title, it's much more than what we had in the book. And one of the things is called spoilage. If you make any mismark on your ballot and they don't want to count your vote, they don't. And the case of, for example, the Republicans lost the mayoral race in San Diego, but then they went to court and said that anyone that put an X instead of if they didn't fill in a bubble, but they put a check or an X or wrote in a name, didn't fill in a bubble. If you didn't fill in the bubble, as opposed to some other marking, your vote was thrown out,
mm-hmm.
which violates the old rule that intent counts. But since Bush v. Gore, it's the party hack's intent that counts, not the voter's intent. So both my parents and my sister, who's a lawyer, by the way, lost their votes and the Republican by knocking out these Democratic voters on absentee ballots, won the race. And this is done nationwide, and we're seeing the latest, greatest, horrible vote shenanigans I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
And by the way, when Trump says, Trump is right, the election is rigged, and he should know because his buddies are rigging it, and that's my investigation in the film, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy. And by the way, it's now dirt cheap. It's like $2.99 on Amazon to rent it. But you can also go to gregpalast.com and get DVDs. And there's all a book and a comic book, by the way, I wanted to mention.
Right.
The comic book is free at my site.
Well, you know, it's interesting because when Trump said that, I let my listeners know that when you came on the show, we were going to talk about who's really rigging the votes. And it seems like since 2000, not much has changed for the better. It seems like everything has changed for the worse.
Well, in fact, I think they've just gotten more sophisticated. Back in 2000, I mean, many people know me from the original version of The Best Democracy Money Can Buy. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I want to thank you, Maria Heller. Uh-huh. You were the first radio show to bring my report to America. I was reporting this for BBC Television and The Guardian, and you had something very strange at the time called an internet radio program, which no one had. You were the first.
I know.
And you were also the first to bring me through the electronic Berlin Wall. Here, I had this story on the theft of the 2000 election in Florida, and I couldn't get it into the U.S. press for nothing. It was about, I had uncovered, this is Greg Palast, by the way, I had uncovered how Jeb Bush and Catherine Harris removed tens of thousands of black men from the voter rolls, claiming that they were felons, criminals, not allowed, that an ex-cons can't vote in Florida. But in fact, I got the secret list. I got the list, and there was no one on those lists. There was no one on those lists who was guilty of any crime except voting while black.
Right, exactly. Well, I remember that, and believe it or not, can you believe I'm still doing this 17 years later?
Yes, and thank God you are, because I can't believe I'm doing this 17 years later. Are you kidding me?
I know, so, but I have to tell you,
Greg Palast wanted to. I wanted to get all. I mean, I've done many other stories for Rolling Stone, for but mostly for the British outlets, BBC and The Guardian, because there I can go on prime time on TV and the front page of the newspapers. And in America, no one wants to hear this story. You know, after all, Joe Biden just told us that America's voting system is the envy of the world.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. It's true. It's the envy of Kazakhstan, where the dictators are watching very carefully to keep it that way. But I can tell you, I've just on German primetime TV, and it's the laughingstock of the world. They're laughing, but they're also horrified, because our broken voting system is choosing the leader of the free world and the enslaved world as well, by the way. And so they're horrified at how our elections are fixed, rigged, jacked, but not by the way that Trump says, but by his cronies. And I go into the latest gimmick, which is called cross-check in the film. And then I've seen some of the old stuff, like in North Carolina. We can talk about that too.
Right. Well, I wanted to ask you, because I know you've been traveling so much. I don't know how much of the news you're paying attention to. But I believe that in five different states so far, because of Trump's, you know, wanting to send his crazy fans to observe the polls, they want to close down the voting in a lot of schools and make the day a day off for the students to keep them safe. When I saw that, my first thought was, no one's going to know where to go to vote.
Well, in fact, yeah. I mean, one of the problems is, for example, in North Carolina, the Trump people have been sending letters to Democrats, but especially minority Democrats in minority areas. And when they say do not forward, if the letter comes back, they then challenge the voter's right to vote. There's a lot of reasons why letters come back. And I had uncovered this with my co-writer, Bobby Kennedy, for Rolling Stone and BBC Television, back in 2004. This trick is 12 years old. It's called caging. And as Bobby Kennedy, who is a voting rights attorney, he's a dean at the law school at Pace, Bobby Kennedy says, it's a felony crime to do this, to target minority voters and erase them by sending them these letters. And for example, Karl Rove and the Republican National Committee sent letters to homeless shelters. Not everyone gets their mail at their homeless shelter, but they're allowed to vote. Just because you're homeless doesn't mean you're voteless. They sent them to minority soldiers overseas, you know, do not forward to their APO address, so that it was like, go to Iraq, lose your vote, mission accomplished. Mm-hmm. And then they were sending, PBS actually did a great follow-up on my story, which is pretty rare for them, David Brancaccio, bless him, and Brancaccio discovered that that they were sending the letters also to black students at traditional black colleges during the summer break. So of course they're not there, but they're legal voters. And I can tell you right now, my daughter has been barred from voting in Georgia. She's tried for months to get on, and they're doing everything in the world, to the point where the NAACP told her, you're a student in Savannah, you will never get a chance to vote, they're not going to let you vote, forget it.
That's crazy.
That's how bad things are. And then now they're doing that in Carolina, mm-hmm. Trumpsters, and it's a felony crime, by the way. And, so this is not a joke. It's a crime. And if you want to see the story of caging and the evidence and Bobby Kennedy and the rest, download the film, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, which you can get, you know, like I say, from Amazon. And Maria said you have to have it.
You don't even have to watch it. You have to buy it, own it, show it to all your friends. I've lent mine out already to several people. And yet I watched it again last night. And you know what the amazing part is that I did not know, Greg, is that when people lost their homes under this foreclosure business, that they also lost their vote. That was shocking to me.
Yeah, well, the Republican Party, once again, is saying, okay, if someone's in a home that's been foreclosed, they're lying in a swing state like Michigan, they're challenging those voters, saying that their address is not legitimate. And some people do stop receiving mail because they're, you know, the landlords, their banks are trying to push them out of a home, but they are legal voters. You don't lose your vote because you lose your home. You don't lose your vote because you're a student. You don't lose your vote. And what it comes down to, you're not supposed to lose your vote because you're black, but that's who they're targeting, and Latinos. And now the newest group they're going after, as you saw in my film, is Asian Americans, because Asian Americans are voting like they've turned black. And we have, as Maria can tell you, while the film has all this hair-raising information about vote theft and vote shenanigans, I think you will agree, I hope you do, that it's a very entertaining film with cartoons.
And— oh, it's great. You look, first of all, I have to tell you, Greg, I've known you for now almost 20 years. You look the same, okay? You look the same, like you didn't age a day. A couple of my listeners were like, oh, you're going to have Greg Palestine. Oh, God, he's so handsome. So you have quite, you know, I was always crazy about your hands. So I was told you should be a hand model. But yeah, the movie's very entertaining. And, you know, it starts out with you with that Inuit up in Alaska. When a movie starts out with F you know it's going to be a good movie.
Well, I showed it in a church last night with Reverend Jesse Jackson. And so I had to tell the congregation, look, it's not exactly church language the way this thing opens up.
All right.
But you'll learn why we do it and why this Eskimo chief is screaming at me, swearing a bloody murder at me. And you will also learn that, you know, it was meant to be very informative, but also I wanted to make it so it wouldn't feel like a, you know, one of those PBS
real Sam Spade novel. And I loved, you know, I loved all the movie stars in it. I like the way you have these little dream sequences. You've come a long way, that's for sure. You know, with Trump saying that people were going to vote multiple times, wasn't it interesting that two of his fans got busted for voting twice last week?
Well, it's interesting because it's a crime that almost never happens. And what Trump is doing, he's saying, see, people are voting twice. Of course, his people, but they're using that as an excuse. You'll see in the film The Best Democracy Money Can Buy. I keep repeating it because you want to get it from Amazon. You can also, by the way, if you go to gregpalast.com, I have a comic book version of the film where it's 57 pages of like telenovela style. That's for free, unless you want to make a donation. But that's at gregpalast.com. But yes, Trump, so one of the things we bust in this film is something called cross-check. Trump says people are voting many, many times. That's how the election's rigged. Well, you'd vote twice, Maria, and you know very well, you go to prison for 5 years. It's very easy to catch. These Trumpster morons don't understand it. It's super easy to catch someone voting twice because you give your name and address and you show up. You know, it's like, how dumb can you get? It's 5 years in the slammer. So one of the things that we uncover is the Trumpster's secret list. It's 7 million names of suspected double voters. I actually got my hands on 2 million of the names, and no one else has it. I just was on the line with the state legislators talking to the New York Times, and the New York Times is investigating the story New York Times style, which is to call up the officials and ask them what they think. And they say, oh, it's all okay. And then the New York Times says, oh, it's all okay.
Right.
But I actually did something that the New York Times has never done, which is to actually get the list. And you actually get the list. And if you don't have the list, you don't know what they're doing. And when you see the list in the film, and I literally, we have 30,000 special effects in the film, 30,000 special effects. When I dive into the evidence literally, and I'm inside the evidence, and I see that the names that the people that they're saying are double voters are, for example, Maria Cristina Hernandez is supposed to have voted a second time as Maria Isabel Hernandez. And, you know, Maria, you might say, well, wait, isn't that just Maria Hernandez is the common name?
Right.
Not for a Republican, it isn't. And so they have taken, they take people like James Brown Sr. and James Brown Jr. And I kid you not, there's about 200 matches where they match James Brown Sr. and James Brown Jr. and say it's the same voter voting twice. They have, there's 25% of the names, almost 2 million names on the total list. The middle names are mismatched.
Right.
So they have, you know, John Henry Black and John James Black are supposed to be the same voter. But the one thing we do know about that voter is that they're black. In fact, we did an analysis, and our experts have said, my God, there are 1 in 7 minority voters in the nation are on this list. 1 in 7, 1 in 6, 1 in 7 minority voters are on this suspect list, and that's whose votes they're challenging.
Right. Don't you see this as another form? I hate to use this expression, but to me it looks like ethnic cleansing of the voter rolls.
Well, that's exactly what it is. It is ethnic cleansing. That's the perfect phrase. You know, I mean, they're getting rid of their votes. It's another phrase is a lynching by laptop, but it's, you know, it's taking away the vote. You're
right.
Getting your vote hung out to dry. And yes, it's not as bad as lynching by rope, mm-hmm. but it's, and they're not using, and it's the, what I call the Ku Klux Klan. And instead of using white sheets, they use spreadsheets to knock people off. So, I mean, if you looked at these lists, and that's why I'm so frustrated with my fellow journalists. By the way, this is Greg Pallas, if you just tuned in. I'm frustrated with my fellow journalists because they write about this stuff and they don't get the evidence.
Right.
It took me 5 months to get the list. They didn't want to give me these duplicate voter names because they knew it was a phony. And they told me you can't get it because it's confidential, because these are criminal suspects, and they can't give away the names of criminal suspects. There are really 7 million criminal suspects in the United States, really. But this is what they're doing. So when Trump says the election's rigged and people are voting many times, and that you may just—it's not that he's just blowing through his comb over his. The Republican secretaries of state are already on the march with this, mm-hmm. and they are knocking off. We know, Virginia told me that they knocked off 41,000 voters off the list.
Right.
Well, 41,000 voters.
Right, I was astounded at all the figures in there. But looking at those lists, as you show them on the screen, Greg, I was looking at the names and I said, how could they say these are the same people? You know, different first names, different middle names. Some didn't have middle names. And no, you know, no real identification, which should be your date of birth or your social security number. None of that. So it seemed like, you know, it really is a witch hunt. And I don't think I've ever seen such a racist election in my life.
Yes. Well, here's my, I mean, this is a racist Jim Crow election. And it's not just, I don't think the Trump people aren't going to go into North Philly because it's not 1956. And if you start pushing around black people at the voting rolls, you're going to get pushed back. So I don't think that they're going to do that. Instead, they're doing these creepy, creepy little goofy things like sending letters to black people. And if they come back for some reason, they're challenging their vote. They challenge a 100-year-old black woman who just doesn't go out. So she doesn't, you know, she rarely leaves because she's pretty frail at 100. And she doesn't always pick up her mail. And so it's, you know, this is the type of thing that they're doing.
Right. Now, I don't remember where you were because, you know, you're all over the place. God, you should get a lot of free travel miles. But you were at one place where the lines for black voters at polling places were incredible. And then in the same city where the white people vote, there were no lines whatsoever.
That's correct. So what happened is that in the state of Ohio, the right-wing attorney general, who Bob Fitrakis, a great voting attorney, says he just uses bigotry. So what he said was that every county gets a single voting station for early voting. And that doesn't matter if it's a rural county with 6,000 voters or Cleveland with 1.5 million voters. Mm-hmm. I was in Dayton where people waited 5 hours in line. Now, 70% of black people vote early. So it's an all-black voting deal. It's Soul for Poll Sunday. So you had literally tens of thousands, I kid you not, of people in a line snaking through the state parking lots. And remember, this is November in Ohio. It's cold. And people waited 5 hours in line. And then at the end of the line, they didn't get a ballot. They got an absentee ballot, which you're not supposed to get.
Right.
You're supposed to get a ballot. And the reason they give you an absentee ballot, it's very easy to challenge an absentee ballot. You know, you skip, you're supposed to fill out envelopes and all this stuff. You know, even such things in Ohio, it says put in your driver's license number. If you don't have a driver's license number, you have to put in no license. If you just leave it blank because you don't have a driver's license, that's going to throw out your ballot. And this is the games they're playing. Then I went over to the suburbs of outside Toledo, and there literally was no line. There were more. Well, there was a line. The poll workers were lined up to help out each voter who got coffee and cookies if they came in to vote in the white suburbs. Hmm. So this is a game that's being played, and they're revving it up.
Right.
For Tuesday, and what I'm really concerned about, and this is why everyone, once again, you're listening to Greg Palast, I will give you an absolutely free 57-page investigative comic book if you go to gregpalast.com, but the other thing I'd like you to do is download the film, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, A Tale of Billionaires and Ballot Bandits, because I have little doubt that they're going to steal the United States Senate. I don't think they can steal enough votes necessarily to elect the Donald. But I'll tell you this, if they keep the Senate, it doesn't matter who's president because they might as well be held hostage in the White House.
Well, that's how it's been for 8 years. And by the way, is that Ted Rawls work in the comic book?
In the comic, well, we have two comic books. There is a book out, the sequel to my original bestseller, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy. The sequel is called The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, A Tale of Billionaires and Ballot Bandits, and inside there is a 44-page comic book by the wonderful Ted Rawl. Mm-hmm. And I got Ted to join me, and again, this is Greg Palast. I got Ted to join me when he was fired by the L.A. Times for committing journalism. They figured out that his cartoons were taking shots at LAPD police brutality. And they fired him very publicly.
Oh, I remember
and
that.
It was horrible. They said he was a liar, that he fabricated stories.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm Greg Palast, I'm an investigative reporter. So I investigated Ted because I had to. He's a fellow of my foundation. And I said, sorry, Ted, I got to get the evidence here. And we found out that the L.A. Times completely fabricated this story, completely. And he's actually sued the Times, which, I'm not big on suing papers, but in this case, they literally made up a story to smear him. But you get Ted Rawl's, the courageous pen of Ted Rawl, in the book, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, A Tale of Billionaires and Ballot Bandits. And in the film, we have the great Keith Tucker, because he does film. He's the guy who drew Who Framed Roger Rabbit. So if you dug Roger Rabbit, you'll go completely crazy with The Best Democracy Money Can Buy. How did you like the cartoons and images and animation?
I loved it. I loved everything. You know, I thought back, you know, how far you've come from when we all first got started because, you know, our technology wasn't exactly where it's at now. But, I mean, that's a film, you know, and I know it's been shown in theaters. I mean, it's theater quality.
Yes, it has been. We slammed out. We sold out in New York and Hollywood. We actually got, believe it or not, more seats per screen than Magnificent Seven. And so the industry journals went crazy. Said, what's this film, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy? Why are people coming in? Because what's happening is it's like you, Maria. People see it once, and then they come back to see it again with three of their friends.
Right.
So it kind of... it really exploded, and it's quite something. Last night I was at Operation Push. If you can imagine, we filled out a theater in Chicago in the middle of the Cubs World Series game, which is, like, astonishing. I expect it to be empty. But what's happening is the word's getting out as people are seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
It is an important film. It's a good film.
Absolutely.
You should know the information. But the truth is I wanted to make sure it was entertaining. So I've got Rosario Dawson and Ice-T and, Detective Munch from Law & Order, that Richard Belzer, Shailene Woodley from the Star of Snowden, and I've got Santa Claus in there, which is Ed Asner.
Right.
Santa
he was
suit.
Great in that, especially in his top hat. But you know,
then, yes,
more so,
right.
I wanted to tell people a little bit more about your film because it's important.
Sure.
You know, we didn't talk about the second half of it.
Yes.
You talk about the billionaires and ballot bandits, who they are, the way you have the nerve. Let me tell you, you've got some nerve. The nerve you have to show up at their $1,000 a plate dinners or luncheons or ice cream social. And I'm like, oh my God, are they going to beat Greg? Are they going to beat him to death now?
Well, we worry about some things that are a little more serious than that. For example, what I do, which is done by no other American reporter, but I learned this at BBC Television. And if I want to speak to the billionaires who are fixing this race, in other words, it's not Republicans, and it's not. And by the way, it's not Donald Trump, because Donald Trump merely plays a billionaire on television. There are real billionaires behind him, and one of them is known as JP. Or John Paulson, the foreclosure king, mm-hmm. and I jumped JP at a $1,000 plate dinner. I show up like I'm supposed to be there. I'm in a powerboat. I show up with my sidekick, Lenny Badpenny, which is really her name, and I show up with Badpenny, and we're supposed to be at this like billionaire's luncheon, our dinner, and we finally jump the billionaire behind Donald Trump. And show him the creepy ways he's made his money. And then he's just lying through his teeth. But yes, we worry. And when I went, there's another billionaire I jump who's the number one donor to the Republican Party. His name is Paul Singer, but everyone calls him, including his mom, I think, everyone calls him the Vulture.
Right.
You don't get the name the Vulture because of your kind business practices. So I try to jump the Vulture, and I have to be very careful because at that one jump, in the film, and I'm not giving away anything because there's so much there.
Right.
In one jump, I used the Academy Award nominated Rick Raleigh, probably the best cameraman in the hemisphere. But instead of using fancy equipment, we used iPhones. Why? Because we had Secret Service there, and they're armed to the teeth, and they don't have to explain to anyone why they took someone out.
Right.
And so we just used iPhones. But yeah, we have to be careful. We do have to worry about being arrested, beaten, you know, it's crazy stuff. And so I only use, just so you know, even when you mentioned that I jumped one of Trump's political hacks in Kansas at an ice cream social in a park. But even there, you have to know what you're doing. So I flew in Daniel Myers, who's a war correspondent photographer. He's used to war zones, so that we know, because these guys know what to do in these situations. I only use cameramen who have been in war zones, because it's the only way to get they're the only ones who really know how to operate and do it courageously without fear. When we went in to where Donald Trump was having his little luncheon with his billionaire buddies, we had to go through high security areas, which, by the way, I didn't say in the film, the way we got in, if you're wondering, you see me going through a back door where it says, no entrance, high security, blah, blah. We just said we were there to film a wedding. They let us through. It's kind of scary when you think about how bad our Secret Service is, too, on these things. But
also shows how badass you are, Greg.
Yeah, well, I try not to be. But I'm actually, the reason I'm alive, by the way, Maria, is, and you're talking, this is Greg Palast, the reason I'm alive is that I'm a coward. I try to do everything I can to ensure that we don't get hurt. You know, I can't always guarantee it. I was arrested in places like Azerbaijan, but I try not to. I try not to get hurt.
Well, I don't know if that makes you a coward. I think it just makes you smart. You know, but what's important is you really expose why and the who behind throwing these elections, and that's a big part of this film. So I want people to know, because I've been recommending your book for, you know, since you wrote it 17 years ago. But, you know, this goes beyond that. This is really naming names. It's showing the who, what, where. It throws in the Koch brothers, the oil spills, the Keystone Pipeline, Karl Rove. I mean, there's so much in this film that I don't know how anybody can just watch it once. Okay. I like to retain the knowledge. So I watched it a few times.
Yeah, a lot of people, I mean, you don't have to catch it all, but you get the idea. A lot of people have been saying the same thing, that they've watched it many times. One civil rights leader says he's watched it 7 times now.
Wow, he's got me beat.
It's a real joy to hear these people. And of course, the Reverend Jesse Jackson now is sending it out to 1,000 churches for Sunday.
Oh, that's
to
great.
Get people into those buses.
That's great.
For Souls to the Polls Day. And again, it's, you know, I don't want to scare people off. It's a lot of it's harrowing. There's no question about it. It's highly informative. I like, you know, there's a lot of info. But it really is entertaining. It has cartoons and Santa Claus and, like you say, Ed Asner's in a dressed as a billionaire in a top hat and tails, and he's introducing a segment we call Lifestyles of the Rich and Shameless. And we actually have drone shots of David Koch's big beach mansion and JP's big digs, et cetera. We got clearance from the FAA actually to take those shots. I won't tell you how.
Wow, that's
but
amazing.
Yeah, I mean, this was quite an operation to get this film put together.
It's a classy film. It's an A film without a doubt, Craig. And I know
you're
pressed on time, so I got one more question for you.
Sure.
Who do you think's going to, I hate to use the term, win this election?
Oh, Nixon. Nixon always wins. There's always that little beady-eyed liar that is inside anyone who's megalomaniac enough to run for president. And look, I'm never going to tell people who to vote for or even guess who will win. I think it may be hard for Trump to pull it off at this point because, you know, how many women are going to be excited about this guy? But in the end, I'm deeply, deeply concerned that the GOP is going to keep the Senate. And if they do it by winning the vote, then bless them.
Right.
Well, you know, that's democracy. But I'm afraid that they're going to do it with this cross-check nonsense, with this caging nonsense, with felon purges, you name it, every long lines and cheap tricks and ugly Jim Crow tactics. If they keep the Senate that way, then we can't call ourselves a democracy, Mr. Biden. It's not the envy of the world. It's the world is terrified by our elections, and you catch that in the best democracy money can buy, a tale of billionaires and ballot bandits. This is Greg Palast. Any confusion? Just go to gregpalast.com. See where we're playing, by the way. But mainly, you know, download the film. It's $3 or less, you know, bang.
Right. Well, I have live links right here so people can just click through. I made it very easy for everyone. Greg, thank you so much. And, you know, you're always welcome on the show.
Thank you. Bye.
Take care. Bye. Greg Palast, a real investigative reporter. Second half of the show, someone that works closely with him, Zach Roberts, will be joining me. So stay with me. We're going to learn more about cross-check, and you need to know about it.
She's been called Paula Revere, the mother of the internet and even a legend. The mouth that roars all truth without any input from corporate, religious, or political affiliations. Bria's in it just like you are. Often imitated, but never duplicated. Commercial-free talk providing a real education in a world filled with lies, cover-ups, and propaganda. Subscribe now and encourage your friends to do the same. Feel good about supporting real media that supports you and all life on this planet. Pick a subscription of your choice and get started on the journey down the rabbit hole. If you are financially challenged or a senior on a limited income, please send an email to maria@maria.net and she will work something out for you. There's never been a more dangerous or exciting time to be alive. Education is a necessity now. Stay informed. Subscribe today at www.meria.net.
Drugs, they're bringing crime, they're rapists, and some, I assume, are good people.
A Greg Palast investigation.
Why are these such secret lists?
The Guardian calls him
the most important investigative reporter of our time.
People that voted twice in this election.
You vote twice.
you get 5 years in the slammer.
This is voter suppression, pure and simple.
Palast exposes the latest heist, the theft of the 2016 election.
Allow and approve the Keystone Pipeline.
This is destruction in progress.
And the billionaires bankrolling the steal.
Paulson made a personal profit of more than $5 billion last year.
Paulson sat in those rooms and didn't tell those poor schmucks that they were buying crap.
And they are cooking the ballot boxes on Election Day.
That's not about black and white, that's about right and wrong.
And you would think that Jim Crow rose from the dead.
Mm-hmm. Salon said,
"We'd love to tell you about what Palast dug up, but then we'd have to kill you. A wild and woolly ride."
The best democracy money can buy. A tale of billionaires and ballot bandits. Featuring Willie Nelson.
Are you high? Are you smoking something?
Aren't you?
Also featuring Rosario Dawson, Shailene Woodley, Ice-T, Richard Belzer, and Ed Asner. The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, A Tale of Billionaires and Ballot Bandits, the movie.
Welcome back. I have my next guest on the line, Zach Roberts. He's the co-producer of the film Greg and I just talked about, the one you have to own and show to all your friends, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, A Tale of Billionaires and Ballot Bandits. Good morning, Zach.
Good morning.
I see you guys have been super busy promoting this film all over the place. I don't think Greg's probably slept in his own bed in who knows how many months.
I've been on the road on the trail of this supposed rigged election. I'm in Youngstown, Ohio right now, trying to find these supposed double voters.
Right. Well, so far the only double voters I've read about are Trump fans.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, you know, they're saying if the election's already rigged, why don't they just help out their candidate? You know, I mean, this is a sort of, you know, the dangerous language when you start talking about, you know, that the election is gonna, you know, somebody's gonna rig the election for a particular candidate. You know. So.
Okay. But what people don't get is the elections have always been rigged. They're just, you know, more sophisticated about it now. You know, before I saw your film, I didn't know anything about cross-check.
Yeah. No, I mean, this is this weird thing, is that this has been around for years, and I just happened to trip upon it thanks to some ACLU FOIA requests that happened years and years ago in Pennsylvania. And then we went down the rabbit hole for the past... 2.5 years now. We originally did a piece for Al Jazeera America back when that was a thing, and from there we've just kind of uncovered worse and worse stories about it. And it's now, when we started, it was, I think, 26 states, and now it's 30 states are involved in cross-check.
Wow. So in a simple term, how would you explain what cross-check is?
Well, it's Donald Trump is claiming that people are voting twice in this election. And so is Chris Kobach of the Kansas Secretary of State. He's also just so happened to be the guy that's behind the immigration plan of Donald Trump and the wall and everything else. Right. He's the guy that wrote SB 1070 in Arizona. He's also the guy that writes the citizenship laws. So you get you have to prove your citizenship, you know, via passport, via whatever, if you want to vote, if you even want to get registered.
Right.
This guy's been behind a lot of the kind of the big Republican anti-immigrant, anti-other, as I say, machinations for the last decade, kind of working behind the scenes. He's a Yale graduate, Yale, Oxford, and I think there's another college in there too. This guy is brilliant, but the problem is what he's done is he's created a voter suppression platform called CrossCheck program that is completely and utterly dumb, and it's purposely made dumb. what it does is it matches similar names that are on different states' registration lists. Say so I'm in Ohio right now, and John Washington is registered here. John mm-hmm. Washington is also registered in North Carolina, where I just came from. Those two people, according to CrossCheck, are the same voter.
Right.
And they're voting, they're potentially voting twice.
Right, but how many John Washingtons are there in the country? Probably thousands.
Well, so here's the thing, is that even though it may be, the one in Ohio may be John J. Washington, and the one in North Carolina may be John G. Washington, CrossCheck says they are a potential duplicate voter.
Uh-huh.
Never mind the fact they're completely different people with completely different addresses, completely different Social Security numbers, completely different life stories, whatever.
Right.
different Facebook pages, whatever. It doesn't check all that stuff. You know, all the kind of stuff that credit card companies, you know, credit card companies always somehow, there's another Zach Roberts that lives in the next town over for me in New York. I never get his credit card bills. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, that's
because they know what they're doing.
Right.
This is purposely stupid, purposely dumb program to match as many people. And according to the numbers that we have, we just have a couple of the lists that we got. 7 million names are on this list. And potentially 1 million people are going to be stopped at the polls when they thought they were registered to vote. And they're not going to be able, potentially not going to be able to vote.
Right.
And so it, depending on the states, and the states that CrossCheck is in are a lot of the states that right now are, you know, either old swing states, like, you know, North Carolina and Ohio, or these kind of new swing states that are popping up that thanks to the Trump-Clinton paradigm, you know, things are changing. So this could potentially sway the election. And the problem with this, beyond the, like, just ridiculousness of the thing, I mean, obviously there's problems with just matching, you know, people with similar names. I mean, this is, you know, this is not kindergarten. This is, you know, this is our vote. The problem is that thanks to the history of slavery and thanks to the history of immigration in this country, people who have similar names are more likely, dramatically more likely,
mm-hmm.
to be African-American, to be Hispanic, and to be, as we've just found, this is kind of a new voter suppression world that we've discovered with CrossCheck, is that also Asian population,
mm-hmm.
because of similar names, that when Asian immigrants come over, they often simplify their names. So we find a lot of Hos on the list. We find mm-hmm. a lot of, you know, Lees on the list.
Right.
In fact, one of the guys that worked with us, he's our marketing guy, is Christopher Lee. His family's from Hong Kong.
Huh.
You know how many Christopher Lees there are on the list?
Of course, even the actor.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, you know, have you ever seen an election where, you know, and there's so many articles out there and so many stories I've been covering, Zach, about how this is like the last election for the elite old white crowd. So don't you see this election as a tremendous amount of racism? And like they're just trying to hold on to a dying paradigm?
Oh, it's inherent. I mean, it's the only way they can do it. I mean, we're talking about in 2020, potentially Texas is going to go blue. Wow. I mean, if I was a member of any party, I'm not a Democrat, I'm not a Republican, I'm not even a Green. If I was a Republican, though, and I was sitting in D.C. in one of their headquarters, I'd be losing my mind.
Right.
Because they're going to lose Texas. They're going to potentially lose Arizona this election.
I know. And believe me, being in Arizona 25 years, I can't believe how close it is in Arizona. And even the Republicans I know say they're not going to vote for the party.
Yeah. I mean, that's not even necessarily having to do with Donald Trump's ridiculousness.
Right.
To put it nicely.
Well, because they've moved so far
away. I've been
to
enough of his rallies that I know that it's much worse than ridiculousness.
Right.
But that's, you know, I mean, we have, thanks to, you know, thanks to not even immigration, but, you know, I mean, just people of color realizing that, you know, the Republican Party isn't just not representing them, but is actually fighting out against them. You know, and once you tell, once, you know, we went into an Asian American activist group in Atlanta, Georgia, where there's a really big Korean community there, and we showed them what they what this program was, and they lost it. They're like, "Oh my God! I mean, we're trying to get these people who are new immigrants to this country who left, you know, a lot of, you know, potentially places that, you know, places they couldn't vote before, and now they're potentially going to be told that they're voting illegally. They'll never vote again."
Exactly.
You know, and this is part of the program. You take communities that are on the edges, whether it be poor, whether it be black, whether it be Hispanic, you know, people who are, have a kind of a you know, not, I don't like using the term, you know, in the shadows, because it implies, you know, that they have a that it's their problem, not, you know, the nation's problem.
Right.
But people who live, you know, on the edges, and telling them that they could be arrested. In North Carolina, the Secretary of State there, or the Election Bureau, hired a investigator, Chuck Stuber. He's the guy that arrested John Edwards after his little, you know, fiasco.
Right.
And so they're hiring FBI agents specifically to hunt down double voters. I mean, like, this is the level. I mean, mind you, Chuck Stuber never found, in his 2 years working there, he's running for state auditor in North Carolina. I think he found the found out the futility of the job that he was hired for and decided to leave.
Uh-huh.
But he never found a single double voter.
All right.
We have their addresses.
Right.
We have their phone numbers.
Greg went out knocking on people's doors. Right. Well, you know, one of the other things in the movie, which I found very interesting, first of all, the whole movie's great, was data trust. Now, when you interview, I forget who the gentleman was at data trust. You know, data trust basically has every single fact about every single American in their databases. Yeah. It kind of makes you wonder, if they were really trying to find double voters, why wouldn't they use data trust? Or even Facebook probably has more information on us than CrossCheck. Because you don't see social security numbers, you don't see date of births, the things that do separate us from each other if we happen to have the same name.
I mean, so they have, I mean, that's the thing that, you know, makes all of this so much even worse, is that they have the ability, if they wanted to clean up the voter rolls, if they wanted to do this, and look it, I am all for voter roll maintenance. It needs to be done. You can't have, you know, it's kind of gets to a certain point where it's ridiculous, where, yeah, you do have these potential, you know, like you have, you know, Bob Roberts Sr. and Bob Roberts Jr. voting, and one accidentally, you know, goes into the voter rolls, or they go into the polling place and accidentally the poll ticket, you know, it writes down Sr. and then you have a dead voter, you know, when it actually was Jr. who voted and it wasn't his fault. You know, he just, because, you know, just walk in and that you try to vote. So this stuff needs to be done, and there's no reason why it can't be done easily. And, you know, states like Washington do it well. They do maintenance. They call you. If there's a problem with your registration, they call you, and they actually hunt you down in a good way.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like, they try to find you because they want you to vote. You know, they want to make sure that you're able to vote. If you want to vote, you should damn well better be able to vote. And Washington has some of the highest voter turnout because of that reason.
Right.
You know, and so there's no reason, especially with the budgets that they put into, you know, Help America Vote Act is kind of gone now.
Right.
And the Election Assistance Commission is slowly dying. And it's being strangled to death, honestly, by the Republican Party. And by, mind you, we have another Chris Kobach right-hand man from Kansas, a guy named Brian Nelby, I always forget his last name, is now heading up the Election Assistance Commission. The EAC is the people who not count the votes, but they database the votes, essentially, so that people like me and Greg can dig up the information and find out, okay, well, this is weird. We have, you know, 20%, absentee ballots weren't counted here. What's up with that? You know, I mean, being able to look that up, that information. They've cut the budgets for that. They also held back for 7 years. They had a empty commissioner seat. Actually, a couple different commissioner seats, but at least one was the head commissioner, because they refused to confirm any of Obama's appointees, which is another way that they slowly, at the federal level, they slowly screw with the vote and they screw with the integrity of the vote. Mm-hmm. But that's gonna go.
Well, you know, I was surprised to see here in Arizona, because I vote by mail early.
Yeah.
That they actually gave you a website after a few days of mailing in your ballot. You can go to the website to see if your ballot was listed and counted and received. I was shocked. I've never seen that before.
I mean, if the United States Postal Service, you know, however, I personally love USPS. You know, again, we can talk about budget cutbacks and everything like that with problems with USPS and what the Republican Congress has been doing. But USPS is able to figure out how to do tracking and do it pretty damn efficiently. I don't understand why we can't track our ballots. I don't understand why we don't have transparency ballots. You know, we spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on electronic voting machines. And if we could spend, you know, just a little bit of that on list maintenance, on hiring some people, to make phone calls and so, hey, are you still listed at this address? Yeah, okay, cool, you're good then. You know, just so you know, election day is November 8th. There's no reason why that's nonpartisan. That's just making sure people get out to vote.
Right.
And I vote, that's something that both parties should be able to get behind, and it's something that they should be doing anyway, as opposed to like they do in North Carolina where they paid Chuck Stuber $80,000 to look for double voters.
That's,
you know,
crazy.
I mean,
right.
You could have spent $80,000 and hired, you know, a couple staff members and just had them make phone calls five hours a day, you know, a couple days a week, and you would have been able to work through the voter rolls and no problem. Anybody that has like a little asterisk next to their name, potentially moved or whatever. I mean, they're consciously making these decisions, you know.
Absolutely.
And the problem when Donald Trump says that the election is rigged is that he weirdly seems to forget that almost, I think New York State, California, I'm trying to think of what other state is actually has the people that run the election. It's usually secretaries of states. Most secretaries of states in this country right now are Republicans.
Right.
So if anyone's rigging the election, it's going to be his own party that's rigging the election against him for some reason, for Hillary Clinton. I don't know. As much as I believe that Paul Ryan and the Republican Party don't really like Donald Trump, I don't really believe that they're going to rig it for Hillary.
Right. Well, they didn't rig it for Al Gore in 2000 either.
Exactly, yeah.
And, you know,
exactly.
This is like such an old story because, you know, in 2000, your voting machine can't give you a receipt, but yet you can go to the bank and get a receipt at one of the ATMs.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and then we had, you know, this is without even mentioning, you know, the horror that is the Electoral College or the fact that in 2000, the Supreme Court picked the president.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, that's one of the big horrors that I find, because one of the things I'm doing is talking to people on the road right now at Donald Trump rallies and asking them, you know, what are you guys going to do after the election? Mm-hmm. So what if Donald Trump loses?
Right.
And one of the big things that worries me is that if you know, say we have a mixed election where, you know, Donald Trump wins the popular vote and Hillary wins the Electoral College, we're going to have a lot of people on the edges of the Republican Party and that have supported Donald Trump that potentially are going to act out. I don't think there's going to be this mass revolution or anything
right.
like that, but I mean, we're going to have, it's just building that distrust, not only in the federal government, but in the vote. So it's not just, it's top to bottom, and people don't really understand how the vote works anyway.
Right.
People don't understand. Obviously, even Donald Trump doesn't seem to understand that the vote's counted on a state level, or it's even counted on a county and precinct level, that the local people, the guy down the street, is the person that's actually counting your vote or deciding if you get to vote, not Barack Obama. Right. You know, Barack Obama has no power. Right. And, you know, he has no power whatsoever in Joe or Arpaio country, okay?
Right, you know? Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, if Arpaio gets reelected here, I'll know for sure they stole the vote. Okay.
Well, yeah, I mean, Greg and I spent some time in his prison, so, you know.
Boy.
Back in 2008. I mean, we were there. They allowed us to leave. Back when we were hunting for, supposed illegal immigrant voters, and again, not my words, their words, illegal immigrant, but illegal immigrants supposedly are crossing the border for Donald Trump and voting for Hillary Clinton. That's another one of Donald's claims when he was sitting with the Border Patrol Union, and that's what they claimed. And the funny thing is that we've heard this claim for 8 to 10 years now.
Right.
It's actually way back, if you remember Greg's book, Our Madhouse. If you remember,
Our Madhouse.
There was a New Mexico, I think, New Mexico, Arizona, I forget, state representative claiming that millions of Mexicans were crossing the border and voting for, I guess it would have been John Kerry in that book or something. I don't remember. But, I mean, you know, if you want to have anything more ridiculous, the idea that people who are, who don't want to be recognized by the government at all, that they're in the country, they're going to go down to them, make sure they register to vote, make sure they get a fake ID, and then show up to the voting place, which usually is in some government facility.
But meanwhile, yeah. A person born here and lived here all their lives still have problems getting to vote.
Yeah.
But we're supposed to believe that. But, you know, the fact of the matter is more Mexicans leave the United States, especially Arizona, every day than come in. There's nothing left for Americans or Mexicans.
We can't trust those numbers.
Well, Zach, I guess it's going to be anybody's guess to how they're going to throw this election.
Yeah.
Greg's
palace is going to be down in North Carolina. I'm in Ohio. The Palace Investigative Fund is on the case. If it's happening,
right.
If it's happening, it's very likely going to happen in one of these two states.
Absolutely. I just got a news report this morning since you're in Ohio. Did you say you're in Ohio?
I'm in Ohio,
Supreme Court now ensures thousands of Ohio ballots will be thrown out for small errors. So the lawsuit that the homeless filed died in the Supreme Court there.
Fantastic. That's
there's democracy. I mean, like you say, best democracy money can buy.
Again, it goes back to what Washington State is doing, is that they, if there's an error on your ballot, if there's a problem, if they don't understand something, they contact you. And there's no reason why, even if they're homeless, even if they're whatever, even if you're homeless, you have to give an address, whether it be a shelter or a location, something that you can get in touch of. And also, many, many homeless people now have cell phones. Thanks to Obama phone, quote unquote.
Well, why not? How are they supposed to phone for a job if they don't have a phone?
Everything's online now. Never mind, that was something Ronald Reagan started. Let's not, you know, we'll call it Obama phone, you know, whatever. But there's no reason why you can't find these people. People are findable in this country.
Absolutely.
Whether it be through credit card, you know, but again, you mentioned data trust. People, they'll find you. You know, if you have a loan from Sally Mae, they're going to find you. I can promise you.
Zach, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to join me today.
No problem at all. An honor.
It's been a pleasure. Take good care.
Bye.
Bye.
You too. Bye-bye. Bye.
Again, the best democracy money can buy, a tale of billionaires, or as Greg says, real billionaires, not Trump, and ballot bandits. So I have lots of links here. Click through, and it really is a good film. So thanks for listening and supporting the show. I'll see you guys tomorrow.
Thank you for listening and supporting The Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active. or get radioactive. Subscribe today.